On a battlefield, one day the charge was given to a soldier in a land so far from home. To climb the hill, man, death was surely waiting. But determined, he decided to press on. In his mind, he pictured people walking in freedom, all because of the price that he would pay. His life, a sacrifice by his own choosing. But oh, what a victory that day. He took the hill, a perfect soldier. He took the hill, now the battle's over. Our flag was raised, the price was paid, his task fulfilled. He took the hill.
On a battlefield for souls, the charge was given to a soldier in a land so far from home. Calvary's climb meant death was surely waiting, but determined, he decided to press on. In his mind, he pictured people walking in heaven, all because of the price that he would pay. His life, a sacrifice by his own choosing. But oh, what a victory that day. He took the hill, heaven's soldier. He took the hill, now the battle's over. The cross was raised, sin's debt was paid, fulfilled. He took the hill, the cross was raised, sin's debt was paid, God's love fulfilled. He took the hill.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, men. What a great song. What a great truth. Heaven's soldier. You know what? You ever thought about it that way? Jesus Christ, heaven's soldier, came down to pay the sin debt of the entire world. What a battle. What a struggle. You know, you think about his prayer in Gethsemane. The Bible said as he prayed and labored and sweat as it were great drops of blood. And amazing what the Lord has done for us. And as a child of God, we must never, ever take it for granted. Take your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse number 6 and read down through verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 6. Would you stand with me out of love and respect of the reading of the Word of God? I want to read to you the comments of another soldier of Jesus Christ who had come now to the end of his life. And the Apostle Paul says in verse number 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You know, there have been a lot of good men that have served our country. A lot of good men that have fought for the freedoms of our country. But here's a man that had given his life for Jesus Christ. Now he's down to the end of his life, and he says, you know what, and now that I look back over my life, I'm ready now. I'm ready to be offered. My departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And he said, when I reach heaven, the righteous judge is going to put my decorations on, a crown of righteousness. And he said, it's not for me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. That sounds to me like we can all have part in this decorating day before the throne of God. And I want to speak to you this morning using these verses about finish your fight. Finish your fight. Father, bless our time. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for America. Thank you for all the men and women that have sacrificed their lives for the freedoms that we are here today to enjoy. Lord, there are a lot of hurting families. There'll be a lot of gravesides that will be visited today and tomorrow, paying respects and love to the one that gave their life for our freedoms. And Lord, we don't want to take it lightly today. We do honor all who are in our presence that either have served or currently serving in the military. We ask that you'd bless them, Lord, beyond measure. And we look forward, Lord, to what you're going to do in this service today. Open hearts, open spirits, we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. There have been a lot of courageous men and women that have served our country and have served it well and have served our country with dignity and valor. There have been a lot of great decorated men, and as I was looking into some of America's war heroes, there's a lot of names that stand out. Many of you know in World War I the story of Sergeant York and the great valor that he presented and stood firm for America. As I was looking in other great decorated men, I came across a very familiar name that's probably more familiar than some of the others that I will read, but some of the other names that I will read you will astound you at the decorations that they received for valor. But probably one of the names that stand out to most as the most decorated World War II soldier was Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy received 33 decorations from the U.S. military and foreign militaries, including the Medal of Honor, the Distinguished Service Cross, the Silver Star twice, the Legion of Merit Medal, the Bronze Star twice, the Purple Heart three times, the Good Conduct Medal, the World War II Victory Medal, the Combat Infantry Badge, plus Marksmanship Badge and Expert Marksmanship Badge, to name a few. But may I say, there were other great men that served our country. Many of you may not be familiar with a man by the name of Matt Urban. Officer Urban likewise received 28 battle combat awards, including the Medal of Honor, the Silver Star, the Bronze Star twice, and 7 Purple Hearts. There were other great men, like Lieutenant Joe Hooper, who was fought in the Army during the Vietnam War. Joe Hooper received 35 decorations, including the Medal of Honor, the Silver Star twice, the Bronze Star three times, and 6 Purple Hearts for his service in the Vietnam War. Many of you may not recognize Colonel Robert Howard. Colonel Robert Howard was a Vietnam War Special Forces. Colonel Howard received every award of valor offered by the U.S. Army, including the Medal of Honor, the Distinguished Service Cross, the Silver Star, the Legion of Merit Medal 3 times, the Bronze Star 4 times, and 8 Purple Hearts. You see, many times the names that stand out are the names that many times receive a lot of publicity. But very few know these men, and the list goes on and on and on. And you can find the names of these people. All you got to do is find the 50 most decorated soldiers in American history, and you will find these people there. But may I say to you that these men displayed some of the greatest courage while in the face of the enemy. Their desire and will to survive, their desire to protect their fellow soldiers and stand for America, listen to me, was beyond anything that we have seen or known in recent history. When you go and read about the valor of these men, it is astounding how many times they put their life in jeopardy to save fellow soldiers. Some of these men in combat took out personally themselves between 80 and 100 enemy soldiers alone themselves. To me, that is mind-boggling. These people are American heroes. You know, the thing about it is these people will probably never find themselves on a poster in a child's room, though they ought to be. They'll probably never find themselves on a poster in a schoolroom somewhere. But let me tell you something. They know what they did for this country, and now I know what they did for this country. And you know what? I deem them today, from this pulpit, they are the American heroes. And those that are serving our country today, both men and women, they're the heroes that we need to be pointing toward. They're the people that are giving their lives for the cause of truth and right. But may I have the privilege this morning also to introduce you to some other heroes. These people received no Medal of Honor. They received no Silver Star. They received no Bronze Star nor Purple Heart. This group of people that I'm going to speak to you for a moment about consists of both men, women, and children. What was their reason for dying? What was their reason for service? What was their purpose and cause? Simply this: Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Faith, doctrine, and a doctrine of belief. They were motivated by truth and service to Christ. They were motivated by divine courage and valor for the one that they loved. May I introduce you to some of them? They're found in your Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll turn there with me for just a moment. And likewise, these men, women, and children will never find themselves on a poster board anywhere or on a billboard. But in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll look with me for just a moment, verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. The scripture reads, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Or the armies of the aliens. "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." May I say to you that the scriptures that we just read this morning, I want to introduce to you another group of people that are heroes of the faith as well. Yes, they were fighting the enemy who was trying to destroy truth, the Word of God, and Christianity. Yes, they were fighting to protect their fellow soldiers for Jesus Christ, to preserve their freedom to worship and to preach the Word of God, and to own a copy of the holy, inerrant, eternal, inspired Word of God. These are people that many will never recognize in history. But may I say to you today that there's a God in heaven, just like the Apostle Paul said, I'm ready to be offered, because when I meet that righteous judge, he's going to have for me a crown of righteousness. But listen to me, he said, not for me only, but to all them that love his appearing. May I say to you today that you have just as much opportunity to be decorated by the righteous judge as the Apostle Paul and as these dear men and women that we just read about in Hebrews chapter 11. May I remind you that Stephen in Acts chapter 7 died in the line of duty, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He died by stoning in the line of duty. May I also say that the apostles, outside of Judas Iscariot, all died in the line of duty for Jesus Christ. Almost all were executed for their faith and service to Christ. And then finally, the Apostle Paul gives record of his distinguished service to the King of Kings. Would you turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You say, what acts of bravery did these people perform that made them worthy of these awards that God in heaven will present them? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul said, are they ministers of Christ? He said, I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths more oft. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. May I say to you, what I just read to you today are the credentials of a soldier of Jesus Christ. That one day when he stands before his God may be the most decorated soldier of the cross that's ever walked planet Earth. And there are his credentials. There are those that he will be judged on by the righteous judge. And in that day, he will receive those awards. Listen, there will not be medals or badges in this earthly life for the Apostle Paul. But let me tell you something. I would imagine that one day when the Lord Jesus Christ just simply says, here, I've give you the medal of well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm here to tell you, that's all he labored for. That's all he labored for. You see, the Apostle Paul, like millions of Christian martyrs before, knew that their rewards were not earthly and that they were laboring for an incorruptible crown. Now, with that said, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 real quick this morning. And let me dissect these verses for just a moment for the message. And let's take a look at what Paul said about finishing your fight. Now I want you to notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. I want you to underline this phrase. He says, for I am now ready. He says, for I am now ready. Do you know that here we have a good soldier of Jesus Christ who has been through stonings and scourgings and faced death often in his life? He comes to the end of his life, and you know what he says? He says, listen, when I look back over everything, I'm ready now to be offered. I'm ready to go on now and receive the decorations and rewards that the righteous judge has for me. I want to ask you this morning, if you had to meet your judge this morning, are you ready? Are you ready this morning if death came to you? Are you ready for eternity? Are you ready to meet God? You said, oh, preacher, I don't want the Lord to come. I don't want to die because I'm not ready. Well, I've got some good news for you this morning. This morning you can get ready. Because this morning the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up His heart and opened up His life and sacrificed for you so that you could come and receive eternal life and get born into the family of God. If you're here this morning and you know not Jesus Christ, let me encourage you this morning, get ready. Do you know Paul had to get ready? Do you know in Acts chapter 9, on his way to Damascus from Jerusalem, he was not ready? But on that road to Damascus, you know what? The righteous judge met him. And that day, he got ready. And that day, that's the reason he could say, for I am now ready to be offered. Why? Because there was a time and a place and a point in his life that he could remember, I've had an encounter with the Savior, the Son of God. I've had an encounter, a born-again experience. And he had come in contact with the Savior. And on that day, he just simply said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You see, the Apostle Paul had to get ready. What made him ready for death? Jesus made him ready for death. What made him ready for his heavenly entry? His confidence that not only that he was saved, but that he had given his best and served the Lord well. You see, Paul made a statement, Acts chapter 20, to me that blows my mind. Here's the statement he made. He said, I am pure from the blood of all men. He said, I am pure from the blood of all men. You see, he had accepted God's will for his life and pursued it. And he had now come to the end of his life. And he had just decided, I'm ready. I'm ready. And you know what? If you want to be ready, all you have to do is come this morning and have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And if you'll come this morning, we'll have someone show you and you can have the same encounter with Christ that the Apostle Paul, probably the most decorated person, service and soldier of Jesus Christ ever to walk the planet Earth outside of Jesus Christ and probably John the Baptist. You say, well, what's he going to get when he gets to heaven? I don't know, but I just want to be there to watch all the decorations. I just want to be there to watch him pinned with all the awards. Because you know what? You're here today. You've got salvation today because of him. You hear me? Because he obeyed the heavenly vision, and instead of going to Asia, he went to Europe. And the gospel came to you and I today. So you know what? He's going to be decorated. All of us that are born again believers today, outside of Jesus Christ, need to give the Apostle Paul credit that you're here today because he obeyed God. He just simply said, I am now ready. If you're a believer this morning, what's your life like? Are you serving the Lord? Are you just kind of getting by? If the eastern sky split today or death came to you, may I ask you, child of God, are you ready? You say, oh, I need to get ready because I won't get many awards. I won't get many decorations. Well, let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul said they're available, though. They're available through service. You see, Paul said, I am now ready. Look in verse 7. Here's another phrase I want you to underline. He not only said, I am now ready, he said, I have fought a good fight. Now, there are several things about this verse that you need to take note of. First of all, did you notice he said, I fought? He said, oh, preacher, I'm just not a violent person. He didn't say he was violent. But you're going to have to fight. You see, the thing about it is those of you that have served in the military, you know good and well that those who did not fight usually lost their lives. Those who were unprepared normally lost their lives. And I'm here to tell you, child of God, there's a fight that needs to be fought. And Paul said, I fought. If you're a child of God, you understand what that means. Now I want you to listen to me, listen to me well. I want you to look around you. These people are not your enemy. This is not your enemy. You have one enemy and one enemy only, and it's the same enemy God has. His name is Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the tempter, the destroyer. He is your enemy. Now, I need to say something here this morning. He don't play fair. He doesn't play fair. He cheats. He lies. He makes up the rules as he goes. You say, well, how am I supposed to fight this battle? Jesus. That's how you fight this battle, because you cannot win this battle. You're on your own. You must have the help of the Holy Ghost of God. Paul said, I have fought. And then he said, a good fight. Hey, he was at the end of his life. He thought, you know what? Boy, I'm telling you, I may be going into heaven with a black eye and a bloody lip, but bless God, I got a few licks in myself. He said, I fought a good fight. You say, well, how'd he do that? I wonder how many people got saved in his ministry. You know what that is? That's called an uppercut. I wonder how many churches got started. That's called a gut shot. Hey, he got a lot of shots in. That's the reason at the end of his life he could say, I fought, and I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. You see, Paul fought against sin, Satan, and scorners. Paul stood for truth. He stood for right. Paul sacrificed himself for Jesus Christ. May I remind you that he even claimed to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees? He was wealthy to a degree. He knew that he was going to face opposition, both physical and spiritual opposition. But you know something? When you get to the end of the day, and boy, you've served God, you've been a witness for Christ, maybe you've passed out some tracts or told somebody about the Lord or did something for somebody, you know how satisfied you get when you get home after that day and you sit down and you think, man, I fought a good fight. Doesn't it feel good to serve God? May I say to you that how much more as a believer who's dedicated themselves to Jesus Christ can say at the end of the day, if they've lived for God and they've had that devotion time and they've had communion with the Lord, they can sit down in the easy chair and say, boy, you know what? I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. And I'm ready now to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And may I say something? I skipped over that, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. We live in now 2011. Things are not going to get better because we're funneling now to the end times. May I say to you that 10 years from now, my departure may be at hand? Because 10 years from now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand up and say some of the things I said this morning. But you know what? You say, what if they tell you can't? I'm going to do it anyway. Because you know what? That's what the Apostle Paul did. He just did it anyway. They said, we'll stone you. Go ahead. Hey, the people at Lystra took him outside the city, stoned him to death, said, there, take that. They went back in the city and God said, get up. Not done yet. And by the way, if they do throw me in prison, listen to me, I ain't done yet. He said, what are you going to do? I'm just going to preach in jail. I'm just going to try to witness in jail. I'm going to do whatever. And by the way, somebody come visit me. Number three. Okay? He said, I'm now ready. I fought a good fight. Look, if you would, in verse 7. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Many of you have heard the story of Napoleon Bonaparte as he was sitting on the hill watching the battle. He saw a young man running out of the battle. He told his officer, he said, get that young man and bring him to me. And he brought that young man to Napoleon Bonaparte. He said, young man, what is your name? The young man told him his name. He said, either change directions or change names. You see, the thing about it is, folks, there's no place in Christianity to run. There's no place for us to run from the battle. Because the thing about it, he said, I'm going to run. I'm not going to go to church. Well, let me tell you something. You know what? The devil will find you. You're not going to run from him. He's going to find you. And I'm here to tell you today, Paul said, I have finished my course. Do you know God's got a specific course for your life? He's got a specific will for your life. My question is just simply, will you submit and follow? Or will you start? And when the battle gets heated, will you quit? The men that I read to you today, these great American heroes, these men, I'm telling you, you ought to go read about these guys. Incredible. Incredible. These men literally stood in the face of enemy fire. And not only while they were fighting, they were rescuing and pulling guys out as they fought. But you know, as a child of God, when we are given the commission to be a soul winner and to be a witness, you know what? When we go out, you know what we're doing? The Bible says we're pulling them out of the fire as well. We're saving souls and getting them out of the fire. You know, so many start well, but when the enemy starts firing, we panic and we allow fear to grip our soul, and then we see no option but to run. Listen to me, don't run from the battle. Because we're in a battle for souls, folks. We're in a battle for souls. Paul said, I am now ready. He said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished. Listen to me. Finish what you start. Well, let me give you the last one. He says, being ready in the fight, finished my course. He said, through it all, look at the last statement. I have kept the faith. He said, you know what? The devil interrogated me. Oh, by the way, did you notice how many times that Paul had been in prison? See, Satan had interrogated him quite often. If you don't believe that, go read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He got interrogated. But he said, you know what? I didn't talk. You know why? Because he had made a vow and a commitment to his God. He said that he was in perils of everything that you can imagine. He was in prison. He had been stoned. He had been beaten and scourged. But he said, through it all, as God is my witness, I kept the faith. I did not recant my faith in Jesus Christ. And yet may I say to you today, dear church, that there are millions of graves all over the world of men and women and children who likewise did not recant the faith, and they were persecuted and executed because they stood for truth and they stood for Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, well, there will be no medal of honor for them, not in this life. But when they see the Lord, the righteous judge, there will be a crown of righteousness waiting for them. You see, there is a great cause. You see, you can save lives and souls from an eternity without God. And may I say to you tonight, if you'll keep the faith, that you can change the course of someone's life forever, and it may be your own family. You see, these divine decorations given by God are not subject to just one individual. Paul said, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Thank God for the decorated men and women who've served our country. But I'm here to tell you today that there are divine awards, there are divine decorations awaiting those who serve God. May I just encourage you today, finish your fight. Finish what you started. There's been a lot of things in our lives that we've started and didn't finish, but you finished this. And Paul just simply said right off the bat, I am now ready. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Would you bow your heads for just a moment this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. How many would say this morning, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. No question about it. I have had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. You said, I'm not ashamed of it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me, preacher. No question about it. I've had a born-again experience with Christ. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, almost every hand was raised this morning, and I'm so glad. But there was one or two that I saw that could not raise their hand. And my desire for them this morning, Lord, is that when they leave this facility, when they leave this building today, that they might know that they've been born into the family of God. Paul could say, for I am now ready, because he had accepted Christ. He remembered that Damascus road. These that could not raise their hand this morning, Lord, maybe they cannot remember a place, a time, a point in their life where they've actually put their faith and trust in Christ. Let it be today. Please move in this invitation time. Now with the heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking but me. There were a few that could not raise their hand this morning and say, preacher, I cannot remember a time in my life where I've actually experienced a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Preacher, I want to go to heaven. I want to face the Lord one day in joy. I want heaven as my home. I want that mansion prepared for me. I want that, preacher. I want to be forever with the Lord. But I cannot look back in my life and think of a point in time that I've had that born-again experience with Jesus Christ. If you're unsure about that, if you have some doubt about that, would you let me pray with you this morning? How many, if you're like that, say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. I have some doubt about it. I can't put my finger on any particular point where that I've been born again, and I need prayer. How many would let me pray for you this morning, and you'd let me know that by slipping your hand up? Just slip your hand up high. Just slip it up and say, preacher, that's me. I cannot remember a time. God bless you. You can put your hand down. There's one who'll be the second. Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot remember a time that I've had a born-again experience with Christ and put my faith and trust in Jesus. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Anybody will join this one? All right, maybe you're here this morning. You say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me? I need to take care of that business for God as well. Slip your hand up. Say, preacher, that's me. I need to take care of that business for God. God bless you. There's two. Who will join these two? And say, preacher, that's me. I've been saved, never been baptized. Just slip it. Just slip your hand up so I can see it. I'll pray for you. And you slip it back down. Anybody else will join these two? Anybody else? All right, then how many are here this morning? Say, preacher, we need a place to serve God. We need a church home. Would you pray with us about that? We need to find a place, a fellowship of believers that we can get involved with and serve God. How many are here like that? You'd say, preacher, pray with us about that. We're seeking God's will about a church home. Would you include us in that prayer as well? I want you to slip your hand up high. Say, that's me. God bless you. God bless you and you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else will join these two. Say, preacher, that's us. That's us. Anybody else? Then one last thing. How many of you are here this morning and you say, preacher, I want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. I want to take a stand for Christ. And I want to say, as your pastor, church, let me listen carefully, you may be called on to take that stand sooner than you think. How many of you are here today and say, preacher, when that day and that hour comes, I want to finish the fight. I want to stand for Christ. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me. When that day and that hour comes, preacher, I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ, come what may. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, the invitation now is yours. Would you have your way? And those that need to be saved, please let them come. If they have any doubt about their salvation, please, Lord God, don't let them stay in the pew. Please let them at this invitation to come, and we'll be glad to pray with them and help them along the way. We want them to be saved so bad. Now have your way in this invitation time. Bless now, I pray, those that need the Lord, those that need to be baptized, and those, Lord, that need a place to come to church and have a church home. I pray that you would lead them in the direction you'd have them to go. And then all who raise their hand that want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, Lord, give us the power, the courage to stand, and we'll give you the glory for it now in Christ's name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the instrument to begin to play. Brother Shaddix, would you begin to sing? If you raised your hand for any reason, would you come and rededicate that to the Lord this morning? If you said, "Preacher, I'm going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ," you come. You come. You come and kneel here and say, "Lord, come what may. Come what may. I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ." Would you come? Listen, it may come sooner than later. Who's going to stand? Who's going to say, "Lord, I don't know what the battles will be like, but I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what's right. I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever the situation may be, I'm going to take that stand for God." You come. If you raised your hand and said you needed to be saved, you come. If you raised your hand and said you needed a place to attend church, you come. You come. Whatever your need is, you come. You come, join these. Don't let the invitation go pass you by. Don't let it go by. You come. You come.